I'm preaching from the book of Joshua this morning, and there will be three sermons coming out of this Joshua. Don't try to follow along because I just preach right on through, and you can listen to the sermons later or actually reference some of this, but right now you don't really need to do that. Now, when we look into the New Testament, Paul the Apostle tells us in Romans 15:4 that all the Old Testament things were written for your instruction so that you will have hope. And this morning we're looking for hope in the fact that God works with people who seem unqualified. And our object lesson is a woman named Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute. And we find her in the book of Joshua. The events leading up to Joshua this time were that Israel had been free from Egypt years before, over a generation before. They had wandered around the wilderness. They finally came to the land God promised. God told Moses, when they got to the land, to send 12 spies to check out the promised land. Only two spies went out there, came back, had faith for Israel to enter the land: Caleb and Joshua. The other spies and Israel, all the people there, did not want to enter because of lack of faith. So God barred the whole crowd from ever entering. But after a generation of more waiting, 40 years, their children were allowed to enter. 40 years. Well, now this is the setting. Joshua's there. They're camped out there right before the promised land. Joshua had led them there. And before entering, the Israelites ended up north of the Dead Sea on the banks of the Jordan River. And from there, they could see over the river into Canaan. That's the promised land. And there was a city miles off in the distance. It was Jericho. Rahab lived there in a house built into the city wall. She was, as I've told you, a prostitute. That's the setting. Prepare your heart for this sermon. God is using believers who seem unqualified. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this sermon, and I think that it applies to a lot of us here and a lot of people we know. Bless us with the truths. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to get to a principle about believers who seem unqualified. They have cruddy credentials. They may even be described as spiritually immature. But in spite of that, God uses them in the faith they have in His love for them. The dictionary defines cruddy as contemptible, worthy of being despised, and not respectable. And this is why they seem unqualified. But they have faith in Christ, and God loves them. Spiritual immaturity is defined many ways, and one is to be unsophisticated in your relationship with God. Another is to be what some consider mediocre. And there are people like that. Lots of Christians are like that. And maybe you think you're one of those kinds of Christians. Know somebody like that. But again, mediocre Christians have faith in Christ, which is the credential God uses for great things in His love. Now let's look at Rahab's example. Rahab was a Canaanite. And at the time, the Canaanite people were enemies of the Israelites and enemies of God. They were pagans living on the promised land God gave to the Israelites. When Joshua sent two men over to scope out Jericho, the spies didn't want to be noticed in the city. They got to the city, so they hid in the house of a prostitute. Lodging in such places was common for travelers in that culture. It was also acceptable for women to be prostitutes. The cultures of Canaan did not live according to the law of Moses given to Israel about 40 years before. Israel is not attached to them. The Mosaic law prohibited sexual relations with someone other than your spouse. It's fornication. If a married person is involved, it's called adultery. And partaking in fornication and adultery as a business transaction doesn't magically make it okay, didn't magically make it okay back then either. Having money transaction only made it paying to sin and profiting from sin. Now, in the Mosaic law, Leviticus 19:29 forbade prostitution, explaining that a prostitute is profaned. Deuteronomy 22:21 said a girl who took up prostitution was to be stoned to death. It says to purge the evil from among the Israelites. Leviticus 21:9 says that if the daughter of a priest partook in prostitution, she profaned herself and her father. Her penalty was to be executed. So it was pretty serious. Prostitution. That's among the Israelites. So here's the picture. Rahab's bordello is where the spies went to hide, but not for sexual relations. And so focusing on Rahab's credentials there, we know these things about her. She was a Canaanite. She was a prostitute. Sexual immorality for money was her trade. She existed in a state of being profaned before God. Know this. Be careful not to discount people outright just because they're rough around the edges. Be careful. Like Rahab, such roughness is not always the whole story, and that's the important point that we need to get. So look for more to the story. There's always some kind of a way that cruddy, seemingly unqualified believers can serve the Lord and do serve the Lord. And what they do is often so far from what we consider sanctified service that it seems wrong. Now, it's sincere, but we can find so many mistakes, can find so many imperfections in it that we might be tempted to say it's not true service, or it doesn't have God's blessing, or God's not at work in it. That's what we think. But here's the thing. God uses people in their imperfection through their sincere faith in Him and His love of them. Now, it wasn't long before people found out that the Israelites were there. Word got to the king. And so he commanded Rahab to bring the Israelites out of her house. Instead of admitting they were there, Rahab hid them. She told the authorities the men had left. She told the authorities to go after them, chase them. She was lying. Her service is not considered what we would call impeccable methods. You know, in fact, she lied one lie after another after another. She also hid the spies. So she not only broke Jericho's law by lying to the authorities, but she willingly hid their enemies from them. She was committing crimes. Now, why would she do such a thing? Well, she told the two Israelites why. 2:9 through 11 tells us, she said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land." Wow. Now, that's the big statement. Very big. She not only recognized God, but she considered herself to be serving Him by letting these people come into Jericho and breaking Jericho law. And so she knew a little bit about history. She knew something about the Israelites. They had fame. She knew about the covenants that God made with them. She knew that they were delivered from slavery to Egypt. She knew they'd been wandering around for decades all over the place. People had heard that the Israelites' heritage was the land of Canaan. Now, they may have disagreed with it if they didn't have faith in what the Israelites knew from God, but they knew that the Israelites thought so, and evidently, some of the people in Canaan, Rahab, they knew that God had given them the land. So Rahab knew these things were facts, and she told them straight out. She said this, "I know that the Lord has given you the land," meaning, "I know you're about to conquer this land." And then she said, "The Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." Well, okay, so Rahab was not perfect, and the things she did were not ideal methods of serving the Lord. But she was operating in faith because she was recognizing the God of the Israelites is the God of heaven and earth, the real God. That's the thing. And in the New Testament, James 2:25 tells us that Rahab the prostitute was declared righteous by doing the works of faith, by receiving those spies and helping them in faith. She had faith that the God of Israel is God, her God. He's not the false gods of Jericho, which are only creations of people's minds. But she was a prostitute. And she was not a descendant of Abraham through Isaac and Israel. She was not following the law of Moses. But here's the thing. In her lack of perfection, she was following the Lord in faith, and He loves her. She asked the spies to promise to deal kindly with their father's household. Spare her parents, you know, please, my brothers, my sisters, all the other people who belong to her family. She said, please spare them. And the men promised to do it. And then she helped them escape through a window with a rope that lowered them down the city wall. And the men told her to tie a red cord in the window to identify her house when they were going to come to attack. And then they told her, get everyone that you're talking about into your house, all these people that we're going to save that are with your family. And then they agreed to leave her house alone. And later, when Joshua and his men did attack the city, it says they utterly destroyed everything, men, women, young and old, and all the animals. But 6:22 says Joshua told the two men to go rescue the prostitute and all she had like they swore that they would do. So they took her and they took their group out of her house and they lodged them by Israel's camp. So when we look at Rahab's memory in the New Testament, we see that James commended her for her works as proof of her faith. And in Hebrews 11:31, it says that Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient to God because of her faith in God. A profaned prostitute's faith in God made her realize that Jericho was doomed. A profaned prostitute's faith in God prompted her to help the Israelites becoming a criminal herself among her own people. And so what she was doing is going forward in her faith. She's risking her life, but she's operating in faith. So here's the thing. Yes, Rahab was not perfect, and of course, she can be scrutinized to be full of imperfections. Of course, all of us can. You don't have to be a prostitute. But she was sincerely looking to the one true God. And her faith in God was real, and she acted on it in the important areas. All through our lives, we encounter people who are kind of cruddy. They're seemingly unqualified. They're somewhat immature spiritually. They're not perfect, but they're believers. You are not perfect, but you're a believer. But maybe you look at those kinds of people, and you see that they do more wrong than right. You know, you don't see a whole lot of good coming from them. The lesson that's coming out right now is that in their imperfection, in their immaturity, God does love them. They do have faith. Don't give up on them. Go the grace route and look for God's work in whatever level of faith they have. They may be a politician who's rough around the edges, but he's saved by grace, just like you. And in his imperfection, his faith in God matters more than a legalist believes. God loves him. He's got faith. Not perfect. And there may be a new believer who has no Bible knowledge other than being saved in Christ. You know, they say and they just do embarrassing things. Well, look for more to the story. Look for the faith and understand that the love of God is there because we're in our covenant in Christ, the new covenant, they have Christ in them, the hope of glory. We all do stupid things and foolish things, cruddy things, rough around the edge things. But God uses us in our faith and in his love. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so know this, God accomplishes great things with this kind of person. He has them in his plans, in his love. Even think about yourself. In all your imperfections and mistakes, you are in God's grand plans. He is accomplishing great things with you. And he wants you to know it, he wants you to believe it, he wants you to expect it. So with our main object lesson, Rahab, who represents so many people in God's kingdom, even yourself, when Joshua sent those guys into Jericho, we see an example of God's guiding hand at work. And this is the lesson for you. Think about this. They enter the house of one of the only people in the city who had faith in God, the prostitute Rahab. Just think about that. I mean, sometimes that amazing fact can be overlooked. But here's what happened. God ordained that. God knew Rahab already. He knew about her faith. He knew he loved her. He sent them there because they have faith. He loved them. See, and with us, there are times it doesn't appear like great things are in God's plan with cruddy believers who are seemingly unqualified. All that seems like is going on is just cruddiness, cruddiness, cruddiness. But we're getting lesson after lesson here to look beyond all of that. We're being called to look with eyes of faith, eyes of grace, eyes of love, eyes of hope and expectation. God had ordained the encounter in Jericho. It was just waiting to happen in history. And God's doing that right now. I mean, it's not that the spies or Rahab, or they knew that God was working out these things by bringing them all together at her house. It's just the way God operates. And this is why your imperfection is not the issue. It's not the issue. Perfect God is the primary mover in the grand scheme of things, in doing the great things according to his plan. But it was more than Israelites discovering the God-fearer Rahab in their entrance there. There's also the king discovering that the Israelites were in town. Seemed like a bad thing. But that was in God's plans too. In God's plan, because the king demanded that Rahab bring out the Israelites, the ball got rolling, see? And that's when she hid them. And that's when she started to try to protect them. And that's when she helped them escape. See, so God accomplished a lot of going on with this. And Rahab gained the respect at that time of the Israelites. She's part of helping God's people escape capture. She is God's person, not an Israelite, but God's person. See, God loves her. She has faith. She also gave key intel, and this key intel emboldened the Israelites. She told the two spies that the terror of the Israelites had fallen on the people of Jericho. You know, and then she made a very interesting statement about the terror. She said this, "All the inhabitants of the whole land have melted away before you." She said, they all knew that the Lord opened up the Red Sea for the Israelites. They all knew the Israelites came out of Egypt and had conquered the Amorites. And then she repeated that interesting statement about the people melting. She told the spies again that when the people of Canaan heard it, their hearts melted and no courage remained in any man because of the Israelites. So the spies are listening to her and they're saying, she's saying the Canaanites have melted away before them and that their hearts have melted with no courage left to fight Israel. This is the kind of intel that spies are looking for. So when the spies get back to Joshua, we read in 2:23 through 24 that they repeated the words of a profaned, cruddy, seemingly unqualified believer, a person God loves, but seemingly unqualified. But get this, the things Rahab the prostitute spoke were prophetic. The spies said to Joshua, this is what they said, "Surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us." You know what they did? They repeated Rahab's words. You know, the Lord gave the prophetic message through Rahab the prostitute. They trusted what she said. They believed what she said. They believed God also. Rahab was always in God's plan for great things that God accomplished according to his plans. And he does this with you too. He does this with people you know, rough around the edges, not so super Christianized, right? But they are believers. They do love the Lord. They have Christ in them, the hope of glory. Christ's righteousness is their righteousness. You know, they don't do a whole bunch of deeds that make them look very righteous. They're mess-ups. They're mistake-makers. God still uses them. That's you. That's me. Be careful about degrees. Be careful when you look at somebody not to start trying to assess them by these two things. Quality of sin, quantity of sin. That's a comparison thing that God's not doing. He's looking at everybody the same way. And we're all imperfect in ourselves, but we have the perfection living in us, which is a person. And that perfection is who? Christ Jesus. Right? And then there's also her protection. Her life was preserved. Read something about her future blessings in 6:25. Now, whoever wrote Joshua said at the time that they wrote down the history account of what happened to her, that Rahab had still been living in the midst of Israel to that day, whoever wrote this down. And this is an amazing detail. First of all, where else was Rahab and her family going to go? If you don't remember the story, and I'm going to tell you, but Jericho was completely annihilated, turned to rubble, nothing left. But more, her and her family became worshipers of the one true God, and so she's now with the Israelites. But she was not an Israelite. Yet she's living in the midst of Israel where she learned about the Mosaic Law and about how to worship and honor God in truth now. And all this is important for so many reasons, and one is because of who Rahab the harlot is. Do you know who she is? I'm talking about her identity concerning much more that God has his plans concerning people that are not perfect, like you and me, rough around the edges. People he loves, people who have faith. You know, there are things about God using cruddy, seemingly unqualified believers to accomplish great things according to his plans, which sometimes involve unexpected reasons that go way beyond amazing. Way. I mean, it's grace after grace after grace after grace. While Rahab lived in the midst of Israel, you know what happened? She ended up marrying an Israelite. And the marriage was allowed according to the Mosaic Law because Rahab had become a follower of Yahweh. And her husband's name was Salmon. And Salmon and Rahab had a child together. You might recognize the boy's name, Boaz. You would recognize him if you know the story of Boaz and Ruth, Ruth and Boaz. Rahab's son Boaz married a girl named Ruth. She was a Moabitess. Rahab's daughter-in-law, Ruth, had been a pagan in Moab. And she had married an Israelite man who lived there, but he died. And widowed Ruth chose to stay with the man's mother, Naomi. She also committed herself to the one true God, to Yahweh. And here's what she said. Your people shall be my people, your God my God. So, widowed Ruth, formerly a pagan, went with her original mother-in-law, Naomi, back up to Israel from the Moabite region. Well, guess who was there? Rahab the harlot, who had not been a harlot now, but was married to Salmon, had that son Boaz. She goes up and he's there. Boaz is there. And Boaz married Ruth through the custom of kinsman redemption. He was able to do it because Ruth was a widower of the son of Boaz's other relative. Isn't that amazing? All this is interesting history, but remember, it's also the story of God using cruddy, seemingly unqualified believers to accomplish great things. And that's the big lesson. And in case you haven't figured it out yet, grace and love is a big part of it. I always like to go the grace route. When in doubt, go the grace route. Because you ever heard that statement, if I'm going to fail, I would rather fail on the side of grace? You don't want to fail on the side of legalism, judgmentalism, and all that other stuff. So again, do you know who Rahab is? She died about 1,400 years before Jesus. But as an illustration, as an interesting thought, it's not something that can really be done, okay? But if Rahab could have been transported to the future over to Jesus in the days of his pre-cross ministry, what do you think Jesus would have said to her if she entered a room? How about, hello, grandmother? And that's because Jesus would have known that Rahab is exactly that. Matthew 1:5 tells us exciting details. Matthew 1 recounts the lineage of Jesus, the promised Messiah, our Lord, the Christ. And it's a family tree starting with Adam, the first man, going down to Jesus. And it's going from generation to generation. And it gets to Salmon and it gets to Rahab. And Matthew 1:5 says this, Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse. And it goes down from Jesse to Jesus. And we sang about this morning. And in his great plans, which surprise us over and over and over again, God had chosen Rahab, the profaned Jericho Canaanite prostitute, to be the great-great-grandmother of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. This is what God does with people like Rahab. People like you, me, people who have faith, people he loves, people like politicians and spouses and friends and children. Our children are not perfect, and our parents are not perfect. Family members, not perfect in their lives, yet they have the perfect life in them, and they have faith in Christ Jesus. He loves them. People who are not sophisticated in the spiritual intricacies of deep, deep discipleship. No, that they have the faith in the one true God. They're chosen. They're called. They have grace upon grace upon grace heaped on them. And they act in faith. And they are in God's love. And when they do act in faith, God's at work in their imperfection. So yeah, God wants his people to learn line upon line, precept upon precept. Of course, it's what we do. It's why I preach. And of course, God wants us to seek to operate in truth. We need right doctrine. We need guidance. But in God's grace, he uses the actions of those who are believers who seem unqualified with their cruddy credentials and their unsophisticated spiritual immaturity. God uses them in their faith. He uses them in his love for them. And when we look at the rest of the people Matthew shows in the lineage to Jesus, we see that God demonstrated in a profound way doing this over and over to accomplish great things with such people according to his plans. For example, we also find Judah and Tamar in the family tree leading to Jesus. They had children that went down the line. Well, let's look at that. Judah was the father of one of the 12 tribes of Israel, the tribe of Judah. And originally, Tamar was a girl married to Judah's own son, but the son died. So Judah, Tamar's father-in-law, told Tamar that when his younger son Shelah grew up, he would have her and the young Shelah marry to replace the dead son. So Judah's widowed daughter-in-law Tamar waited for years. The younger brother Shelah grew up, but Judah, the father, lied to his daughter-in-law Tamar. And he never had them marry. So, Tamar decided to trick her own father-in-law, Judah, into making her pregnant. I mean, the Bible doesn't leave out all the reality of the stuff that happened. And Tamar dressed like a prostitute to hide her identity. Judah thought she was a prostitute. He had relations with her. He made her pregnant. Before he left, he gave her a seal and a shepherd's staff. 3 months later, when Judah found out Tamar was pregnant, he didn't know that he was the one who had done it, but he was told Tamar was pregnant because she had prostituted herself. Well, Judah demanded that she be executed. But Tamar revealed to her father-in-law, Judah, that he's the one that made her pregnant, and she proved it by producing the seal and the staff. And when Judah found out the truth, he said this, "She is more righteous than I, inasmuch as I did not give her to my son Shelah." And so Tamar had twins by Judah, and their names are Perez and Zerah. Matthew 1:3 shows that Judah and Tamar and their child Perez are in the lineage to Jesus, saying, quote, "Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram." And then next came in the lineage Salmon and Rahab the prostitute, which we already know about, right? And then guess who came next? Boaz and Ruth, the Moabitess, which we know about too. And then Matthew tells us there was Jesse, and he was the father of David the king. Remember King David, the man after God's own heart? Well, it says David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah. What? Okay, at one time, David was not married to Bathsheba. In fact, she was already married to Uriah, David's most loyal, most brave warrior. But David lusted after Bathsheba, man after God's own heart, imperfect, rough around the edges, had faith in God. God loves him. God loves Judah. God loves Tamar. See how it works? And so what happened with David is he committed adultery with Bathsheba while her husband was away. But here's the thing. David had her husband killed. The loyal and brave warrior killed in cold blood. He had when they went out to battle, he had all the other soldiers back off and just leave him out there to fight because he was a pretty fierce, intense fighter. But you can't fight off a whole army by yourself unless God anoints you to, like Samson. That's not what he did that day. And then what happened after he died? David married Bathsheba. Bible is true, and this is why God's history leaves in all the cruddy details. It's recorded as examples for us to learn from. We see people who are not perfect, but they have faith in God. So Matthew left in the recognition of Uriah saying, quote, "David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah." You know, Matthew could have glossed over that detail. He could have said, well, David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba. But no. Matthew wanted to get out the same truth in the genealogy that even when it comes to all the generations going down to Jesus, God uses cruddy, seemingly unqualified believers to accomplish great things with them according to his plans. It's faith, it's love, it's grace. It's so huge, it's so big and mysterious. It's very hard for us to wrap our minds around. Yes, God is holy. In our covenant, we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. We live his life at each moment. And we are not perfect, but he is in us. And all of these things of being involved in his plans are the big point in all of this. Amen? So remember the lessons from Rahab. God is definitely using believers that seem unqualified. And you look at them, and you might think, well, that person is so spiritually immature, there's nothing there. But God uses them by grace in their faith, in his love for them, now through Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus. And what they do may be full of mistakes and imperfections. It may seem like sanctified service is not there, but it is service, and it's faith in God and his love. And God accomplishes great things with this. Great things, because he uses all of this in his grand scheme of things.